Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Mother, there is no other. So treat her right. Treat her right. I've never written a song about mothers, so I have my uncle, Mr. T. isn't that awesome? The whole get up, the whole thing caught me. He's clapping on the one and the three, and I was like, oh, Lord Jesus. But mothers, we love you, and we are not here without you. So give it up one more time for the mamas in the room, if you would. I'm just so grateful, man. I've got, you know, so many things to cover, but I really wanted to kind of jump in this morning, just kind of setting this up. So if you are new to Now Church, if you've not been here very long, you may not understand that we have a process and a system that we work through as a church and as a team. One of the things that I've realized is that many times when we have celebrations, we work really hard to do something, and then a lot of times we don't celebrate the victory that we experienced. So Easter, how many of you know that was a victory? It was amazing. Having that helicopter candy drop, there was something special about it. Many of you got so many good reports about all the stuff that we did, but especially that song, Heart Fought, Heart Felt, Been Through Hell, Hallelujah. Great song, and just had a great time doing that. But people don't, maybe you don't realize that we spent 3 months getting all that stuff set up. And so we don't want to just go through and not really celebrate the goodness of what God's done. And to that point, this is our 35th anniversary. Yeah. 35 years of watching God be faithful, 35 years of seeing his hand on our lives, 35 years of ups and downs, 35 years of seeing people come and go, 35 years of watching lives hopefully be impacted by what God has done. And I just don't want to brush over that. So how many of you know this is not just a celebration day? It's a month of celebration. Yes, 35th anniversary, month of celebration. And to that point, I also want to make it sure and clear that Pastors Richard and Gail, every year now, for the last 10 years, starting at our 25th anniversary till now, every year in the month of May, Pastor Richard and Gail go away for the month. And they have what I call selective surgery, okay? Now, they're not getting Botox injections or BBLs or whatever else. She ain't gonna come back with a big, you know, all that happening. Oh, by the way, when I preach, I just go anywhere, okay? So just stay with me, we have fun. But the selective surgery that they have every year in May is called having to cut themselves away from this house for a month. And they do it because they know, I just can't express to you all enough how much they love you and how much they care about you and how much they carry you in their hearts and how much the vision of this church is so dependent upon, obviously, what God is speaking, but how people receive and where you're at. And so for this month, we give them the opportunity to go away, to rest, to get restored, to get refreshed, to get new vision, to get new purpose and hope, to sleep a lot if they can, to travel, to go to the beach, to eat food, to talk, to binge movies. They can do whatever they want to do, but the church is covering them when they're out. And here's the other part. If you're new to the church, what you should also understand is we are a team ministry. And so when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking in my own way, in my own terms, but I'm speaking the heart of God and the heart of what's happening in this house. So yeah, so you can rest and just know, hey, Pastor Richard's not here. No, this team, Pastor Tristan, Pastor Kristen, Pastor Chris, all of this crew that's here, we're all carriers of this vision, and none of us have been here less than, what, 20 years? I think each of us have. So you're in good hands, and enjoy the ride, because it's going to be a ride this morning. Amen? All right, give Jesus one more hand clap if you would. I'm going to set up this series for the next couple weeks. I got you this week and next week. I just did want you to also see this really quickly. This is the pile of prayer requests that we've got. And our pastors are going to split them up in thirds. I'll take one. Pastor Chris will take one. The Kennedys will take one. I've already started looking through some of them. And I just love the fact that when we get to look at these, we get to see the hearts of the people. And we get a chance for you to know that what we are praying for and believing God for, it's almost now there's faces with names, there's faces with circumstances, there are people that are represented here. And we don't take this lightly. So every single day this month, somebody's going to be praying for the needs that concern you. Yeah. Families, loved ones, finances, physical miracles, breakthroughs in vision and businesses. And there's just so much stuff in there. There's all kinds of things, addictions and things that people had to overcome and just all the things. I believe that God is well able to meet people, not just at our place of need, but at our place of faith. So we're joining our faith with yours. We are believing that there's going to be great testimonies that happen at the end of this time and season. And we're going to see the hand of God move continually in Now Church. Say amen one more time, if you would. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm starting a series. As you see, it's called Redefining Success. And it's interesting because as I was looking through Google, I don't know how familiar you guys are with AI, but Lord God, there's a whole lot of stuff that you can do with AI. So I looked up and it said that there's like somewhere in the range of like 300,000 books that have been written that contain the concept of success. So there's all these different ideas and mentalities about what success is, but I feel like we need to redefine it the way that God sees success. So with that being said, we're going to jump into Joshua chapter 1. If you've been a believer for a long time, you may have heard some of these verses before, but we're going to do some refresher stuff. Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 8 is where we're going to go. And the Living Translation says this: After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. And he says, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land that I'm giving them. And I promise you what I promised Moses. We'll go through all that stuff later on. Whatever you set your foot, or wherever you set your foot, you will be on land that I have given you. So again, the premise is where you put your feet, where you walk, where you go, it's in those spaces that God will give you the victory that was promised to you. It says, verse 4, from the Negev wilderness into the south of Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the lands of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. Amen. For I will be with you as I was with Moses, and I will not fail you or abandon you. I will not fail you or abandon you. And this is where we're going to lean into for the next couple weeks. Verse 6, actually we'll hit this more next week, but it says, Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors that I would give them. He says it again, be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you, and do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then, here's where we're landing, you will be successful. Somebody say successful. You will be successful in everything that you do. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything that was written in it. Only then will you prosper and what? Succeed in all that you do. Joshua 1 verse 8 in the King James Version says it this way. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, somebody say for then, which means there's it's a conditional promise. For then, you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. And I love that it says good success, because that implies then that there's some success that's not good. Right? Some of the ways that we might define what success is, all of it's not good. Everything that sort of, and I love the graphic that our incredible team came up with. It says goals, power, reward, fame, achievement, wealth, portfolio, celebrity, winning money, happy cars influence. I mean, all these things, sometimes we think that that is what success is, but I feel like, again, this month, God's going to help us to redefine some of those things and give us a better understanding of his way of seeing it. The word success by definition, as I'm setting the month up, the word success by definition means the accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. The accomplishment of an aim or a purpose. The Hebrew word is the word sakal or sakal. That word in Hebrew, the original translation, means to prosper. Or to wisely understand. And number three is where we're going to lean into today. And I feel like this is where it's going to hit some of you, I hope, between the eyes. Number three, the third definition of a success is this. Success is the state or the condition of meeting, watch this, a defined range of expectations. I'm going to read it again. The third definition of success is it's the state or the condition of meeting a defined range of expectations. Have you ever had somebody say to you, well, what did you expect? Ever had that? I was, in my zeal and energy and hopefulness, there have been so many times where you start something and you get into the middle of it and you realize I wasn't prepared for what I thought I was prepared for. I mean, it'd be like you today. Now, some of you might be able to do this because I know we have the greatest people in the world in this church. And some of you, but it would be like you going today after you leave the service and going to Orlando or someplace where they are holding a 26-mile marathon and you jump in and just decide, I'm going to start running today. And about mile one and a half, you're passing out, you're hurting, you're whatever. And somebody would say to you like, well, what did you expect? What you think was going to happen? You know, it'd be like going to a Quick King or Wawa or somewhere and praying in the Holy Spirit as you buy your Powerball. And then just being mad at God that when they called those numbers, you were off by two numbers. What'd you expect, man? I believe that one of the biggest limitations and hindrances to success, I'm gonna make sure I read this right. One of the greatest thieves of true success is having unrealistic expectations instead of God-sized expectations. If you are a note taker, that's a good place to write it down. One of the greatest thieves of true success is us having unrealistic expectations instead of God-sized expectations. So this week, what we're going to do is we're going to adjust those expectations, and then next week, we'll talk about how to birth those things. Father, we thank you for your presence. That was a long intro. In Jesus' name, amen. Joshua chapter 1 is a great story, and when you get done writing, just give me your eyeballs, because I love telling stories. And I see the Bible in full surround sound, 4D, whatever this, the latest technology, that's how I see it. And oh, what's so cool right now, I don't know if you guys are watching it, but there's that whole series about David. Has anybody seen that? It's on Prime. I forget the name of it, but there's this whole backstory. And then, of course, most of you, many of you, I've said this before, we're kind of late to the party, but the series Chosen, where it talks about Jesus and the whole thing. You know, it's interesting because for me, it puts a face again with some of the things that we thought, and it's just really cool. It humanizes them. So in Joshua chapter 1, let's humanize him for a moment. Joshua was the servant or the assistant of Moses. Joshua had been with Moses. The Bible tells us there's actually not a whole lot that's written about Joshua until we get to these passages that we're talking about. But his backstory is kind of like this. We know that he was born the eldest son of Nun, is what we see in the Bible. Now, about the time that he was born was in the same period of time where Pharaoh was trying to kill all of the firstborn sons. And just stay with me. This may be, so hopefully you know these stories. It was in that time that Joshua was born. So the implication would be that Joshua was one of those people, his household was a house where they had to sprinkle the blood over the doorposts so that Joshua wasn't killed as a firstborn. Are you guys with me? So that's a little bit of what we know about him. Then we get to about age 20, and we know that at that point, he is with Moses, and he's walking with Moses. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Joshua was one who actually went with Moses when Moses went to the mountain, got the commandments and all the things. Joshua was there waiting for Moses for those 40 days. So we know that about him. We also then know that by the time Joshua and Moses and the children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, if it started when he was 20 and they spent 40 years in, how old would he be when he gets out? Good job. That wasn't a deep question. Some of y'all would like, oh, I'm not sure. Seven, subtract the three. No, he would be 60 when he came out. And so we know then that about this time in the story, Joshua is 60 years old. He's at a place where clearly he had seen what success or failure looked like at that point. Clearly he had spent that time with Moses, so there had to have been a lot of people, a lot of input, a lot of opinions, a lot of experiences. There had to have been those scenarios that have happened in his life in the 60 years that he lived. So now he's having to come into a new season. And he says, I'm going to define what real success is. You tracking? In other words, it's somebody who had already had some life experience. It was somebody who'd already been through some stuff. That's why I can't express enough. If you are new to Now Church, we are 35 years in the game. We've been doing it for a while. We don't know everything. There's a lot of stuff that we're still learning and growing. And I feel like I'm learning something every day. I feel like I'm just getting started in a lot of ways. But I can tell you this, we've seen enough to know God's voice. And we've seen enough scenarios relationally, financially, physically, spiritually. We've walked through enough stuff to say, okay, maybe what I thought success was has a completely different definition. Maybe at this point in the game, what I thought I was pursuing or what I thought it should look like, maybe God had a different picture for it. And I want to give you that solace, because if you would have told me when I was 21 years old and they took me out to lunch at Outback on 200 and bought me the steak of my choice and said, young man, you're going to leave Kissimmee, Florida, and you're going to move to Ocala, and 33 years later, you're still going to be here. And you're still going to be doing whatever it is that God's asking you to do. If he would have given me a picture of where I am now, then my head would have exploded. I wouldn't have had any way to comprehend, because to me, as a 21-year-old young man, success had a whole different picture and look than it does today. Anybody tracking with me? Sometimes it's just different. Sometimes, and the beauty of being able to walk something like that out is the fact that God helped me and us through seasons to redefine what our expectations were. I'm telling you, let me help you out. Let me help you live long and strong and happy and healthy. Sometimes you gotta shift what your expectations are. Sometimes if you just get rid of the unrealistic expectation, you know how many times, let me stop, breathe. Do you know how many times we've wanted something for someone so much more than they wanted it for themselves? You know how many times we prayed and cried and believed and stood and fasted and sowed and did all the things because we just wanted, because like we believe what God had for somebody or some scenario, and you can't want it more than they want it for themselves. And so God helped me to adjust my expectations. I believe your word. I believe your promises. I believe what you've spoken. But beyond that, it's got to be between you and whatever you're doing and whoever you're doing it with. Somebody say amen. Oh, adjusted expectations. What does success look like? So here's Joshua, 60 years in the game now. He's coming to a place where we know he's about to transition and become this leader. Interesting to me that Joshua, you'll find, was very content being the second man. He was happy. He was in his role. He was playing the position that God had placed him in. And it was a stretch for him to have to believe God for the next level of leadership and vision and authority and all the things that come with it. So let's look back at the verse. In verse 8, it says, "This book of the law will not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it in and day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous." And somebody say, good success. Good. You'll have a good success. So here's the thing. What we know, he gives us really two very simple objectives. So I'm not giving you a bunch of notes. I'm not going to give you a bunch of stuff to have to follow and write down. But the first objective of redefining success was simply this. Number one, making sure that it's what God said. Making sure that it's in his word. Making sure that the promises of God, the things that you're standing on, that they are in the word of God, because you can lean into what God says to you. Can I tell you this? If I didn't know that I knew that I knew that God had called me to Ocala, do you know how hard it would have been the first 3 years of me living here in somebody else's house with a hoopty car, with struggling? Do you know how hard that would have been if I didn't have the word of the Lord? Right? Some of you, if God's challenging you and he's pushing on you a little bit, and I know this ain't the nice happy Mother's Day sound message, but I feel like this is going to be effective for somebody. If God's challenging you to come up to another level, or he's challenging you to make transitions or shiftings, and maybe it's your job or a relationship or I don't know, where you invest your finances or something that he's got for you physically. If God is making that challenge for you, can I just tell you, it is imperative that you get the word of the Lord on it. Because you will have built-in naysayers and doubters around you. You're going to have people who tell you it is absolutely impossible to do what you're doing. You're going to have folks that say, what are you thinking? How in the world do you think you can da-da-da-da-da? And I'm telling you, the thing that has helped me to walk this out season after season has been, but I know what the word of the Lord said to me. I know what God said. He says here, if you want to know good success, meditate on the word. When it says meditate, it means to mutter, to ponder, to recite, to speak, to quote, to whatever it is. It means to speak the word, declare the word of God, declare the promises of God. This is not some hypey, motivational speaking thing. This is the word of God. This is the promises of heaven. A couple years ago, I was absolutely, physically wrecked to the point where I could barely move. I was probably 3 full months of going back from doctor to doctor. I had what we found out was a swollen disc in the lower back. And if you've ever had that and it starts to pinch your nerve, you know that it is one of the it's horrible. I couldn't stand up to shave. I'd have to sit down. I'd have to bend. I just couldn't function. Church, I went to 3 different doctors. And each of them told me something different and sent me to another medical professional. Then they sent me around. Then I got the MRI. Then one of them said, you're gonna have to get an injection. And the other one said, you might have to get a rod in your back. And the other one said, and so all these things are happening. And here's the coolest part. So right before or right after that was happening, about a month and a half later, we had scheduled our first praise party. And here's what I knew God said. This is why it's important to know the word of the Lord. All I knew about that praise party that we were going to have is that God said to me, you're going to have a great night and you are going to be dancing before my presence. Now, this is while I'm doing this. trying to shave, can't even stand up straight. And all I knew was that God said it's going to be a great night of celebration and you're going to be dancing in that celebration. Literally, Pastor Tristan will tell you, he had to take me to some of my doctor's appointments. They were trying to do all kinds of all the stuff. Literally, the night of the praise party, I walked in here and I had a stool sitting on the platform and my back was excruciating, was hurting. And all I knew was God said, you're going to dance at this praise party. Now, I didn't know if somebody was going to have to get up and carry me and put me on their back and have me dance, but that's all I knew. And when I tell you it was a bona fide miracle, church, we started, I gave a scripture. We started the first song, and I don't even remember what the song was, but all I know is we came out the gates blazing. And I know it was something that had a 125 BPM. It was like, and I knew, and the music started to get me, and I'm swinging around. No, I wasn't doing all that. But basically, I knew God said to dance, right? And my team all knew that I had been hurting. And that it might be not a good idea for me to be dancing. And so the song starts, and I'm telling you, like, am I telling the truth, team? I'm telling you, when that song started and I hung on to the word of the Lord that God, I'm going to praise you. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give you the glory that you deserve. The music started and I literally did start moving and started dancing. And then I got so crunk about the middle of the song, I jumped off the platform. And my team went, oh God. Is he all right? What happened to this man? So I jumped off the platform, and when I'm telling you, to this day, my back has been healed. I'm telling you. I believe in doctors. I really do. I'm still going, still believing God for things. But when you have the word of the Lord, when everybody tells you something different, you stand on his promise. But God said. No, but God said. No, I get it, the circumstance looked like this. No, but God said what success would look like. I think through scriptures and I see, make sure it's in God's word. If you're dealing with something in your physical body, 1 Peter verse 2:24 in the New King James Version says this, He who gave himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you what? Were healed. That means was. If you were, you was. If you was, you is. Right? By his stripes. Go to the doctor. Get the test. Do the stuff you got to do. Seriously, I do not. We got doctors in this house that we believe in. But I had a word of the Lord. I had a promise that defied all those things. And God said, if you are dealing with, I want to hit this, especially today. Because you precious mamas, there is nothing like a praying mother. So treat her right. Treat your mama. God, I wish I wrote that song. Mr. T was killing him. But you precious mothers, can I tell you that your prayers are more powerful than you can even imagine? And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22, I wanted to hit this today for sure. Proverbs chapter 22, in the New King James Version, verse 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. All of your circumstances might be saying, that is not my child. I talk to anybody? Your child might feel like they are 1,000 miles away from knowing who Jesus is. And the Bible says, you train them up, you speak the word, you declare the promises of God over them. Maybe you were late to the party. Maybe you didn't start speaking the word over your kids till you got out of your mess and timing and whatnot. You're speaking the word, and the Bible says that that child will not depart from the promises of God. Oh, yeah. Who's that for? Who's that for? Who's that for? In the name of Jesus, they may seem 1,000,000 miles away from the things of God. It may seem like an impossible dream. I promised I wouldn't do it today, that I wouldn't call anybody out. I promised I wouldn't, Pastor Chris. What were you expecting? That's a great word. I ought to preach something about that. You know who I'm looking at? Can you see me? You got the seed of God inside of you. You've got history of God's word being planted inside of you. You've been around this ministry. There were seasons and times where things were spoken over you. The word of God. And I don't know all the garbage that you've seen and all the crap you've been through. But I can tell you, you knew me when you were a kid. I'm the same dude. Right? Less hair. A couple more pounds. I'm promising you that the word of God never changed. His promises are still true. He still loves you. He still wants the best for you. He still has a place in this house for you, in his heart for you. We stopped a whole service to let you know that God's got you. But here's the thing. Hold up. Then I'll give you a place to clap in a second. And not quite yet either, B, but you're good. But the truth is, the way we postured ourselves this morning in that position of surrender, that's got to be the first step. And to be holy and pure and perfect and all the things, and it doesn't mean something's going to magically fade away from you. But I'm just encouraging you, at some point, I surrender. Some of you parents, believe in God with you. those lost kids, train up a child in the way that he should go, and he will not depart from the word of God. All those seeds, you think they forgot? Do you know how miserable a kid who was raised in church and is out sinning is every time they sin? They know. They can't get away from that stuff. What are we talking about? That foolishness ain't fun. It is for a second. Thank you, God. I got 2 minutes left. Point number one was make sure it's in God's word. The second and last point is very simple. Don't quit. That's it. Get the word of the Lord and then don't quit. Figure out his promises. What did he say to you? What are you standing on? What are you believing for? And then as life is thrown at you, simply don't quit. Just don't quit. Just keep going. Sometimes finishing the race, sometimes seeing God's promises fulfilled are a matter of just not quitting. Don't stop praying for that child. Don't stop believing for your breakthrough. Don't stop fighting for your marriage. Don't stop standing on the faith I'm having to right now. And again, this ain't about me, but I'm giving you examples and testimony because that's how I do. But I'm standing right now in faith for my complete healing. And I've gone through the different aspects of things. I'm just like, God, your word said. You know I'm doing my part. I can't earn a miracle, but God, you promised. What are you fighting for? What are you standing on? What are you deciding that I just won't quit? That's success. Next week, we're going to talk about be of good courage. Stand strong. We're going to talk about visions. I'm going to pray for many of you. Lay my hands on some of you. I already see it. I can see it. My expectation for that is high at the moment. But today, I wanted to start by saying you got to have the word of God as your anchor. And then just don't quit. Don't quit. You know how many times we wanted to quit in 35 years? We're celebrating this whole month. You know how many times we wanted to pull away or pull back from being what God called us to be? And I'm going to finish with this. Because there's so many seasons where people will come and go and shift and transition. And it's good and it is what it is. But there are times, can I tell you that confrontation is one of the hardest things in the world to do? It's really easy to just go the other direction and act like you didn't see what the scenario was when it gets uncomfortable. Am I talking to anybody? So last week, at our 35th anniversary, I had a young lady come up to me out in that hallway, which I thought was significant because in that hallway was the room that led to the hub, which was the place where we had a chance a lot of times to minister. She came to this church when she was 15 years old. She is now whatever years old she is. But she's a mama. She had three beautiful little girls. She had these beautiful little gray streaks in her hair. I just thought, how awesome is that? I used to see her as this little kid, and sometimes it's hard for me to shift from, you're still 15 in my mind. But she said, Pastor Lindsay, and she came up, she's like, I don't want to get emotional. And I'm like, if you get emotional, I'm going to get emotional. So she started getting emotional, and we both in the hall, all in the hallway boo-hooing, and she said, I just want to thank you for not quitting. I want to thank you for not giving up on me. I want to thank you for all those moments when I know it was hard for you to have to correct or to challenge us or to encourage us strongly. Or to go to places where it couldn't have been easy. She said, I know it couldn't have been easy for you. And she said, my perspective now has completely shifted because I'm in ministry now. She said, my husband and I, We're ministering. And she said, all of those times that now I see what it must have taken for you to continue to stay the course and to do the hard thing. She said, now I'm walking in the fullness of those promises. And she said, I know. She's like, I know you don't need this. And I was like, what you talking about? She's like, I know you don't need it. I know people are loving y'all. I said, you don't understand how much I needed that in that moment. She said, don't quit. Don't stop doing what you do. Don't stop being who God has called you and made you to be, distinctly, specifically, uniquely. The call that's on your life, my life, our life. Don't stop being who God called you to be. Don't you stop praying for those young, those loved ones. Don't you stop believing that the promises of God and the word are true concerning your finances and your physical body. And I just told her, I said, thank you, sweetheart. You don't know how much that blessed me. Today was an awesome day, but you've really helped confirm that what we're doing as unto God is genuinely making a difference in people's lives. Oh, I love Jesus. I love him more than I did when I started. I hear a lot of couples say, oh, it gets sweeter and sweeter as you get older and you spend time together. I don't know that reference, but I know what it's like with Jesus. I know how he makes me feel continually. That's success. It's not all the money, all the stuff and things. Build your houses, take your trips, buy your stuff, get your boat, get your vacation, do all the stuff. But your kids loving God and you standing on his promises, that's success. I gotta quit. You sense God? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Brandon, could you play something? What key are you in? Thank you, Jesus. I trust in God, my Savior, the one. G minor. What key are you in now? Oh, I can't sing that high. I trust in God. Never mind. I messed the moment up. Where you at? B flat? G minor now, the one. Good. Who will never go to E flat? Then go to F? No, C minor. There you go. Here we go. Hey, I trust in God. Sing it out. Come on. The one who will never fail. Come on, church. He will never. That's his promise to you, say. So I trust in God, my. Oh, the one who will fail. Never fail. Just keep playing that loop over and over. Hey, hey. And I sought the Lord and he heard and he. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord. Come on, church, say. That's why I. Yeah, I sought the Lord and he heard. Every prayer, his promises are yes and amen. I sought the Lord. Your prodigal sons and daughters are coming back. That's why I trust him. That's why, one more time, say, I sought the Lord. C minor to E flat. C minor. Land on the one. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence today. I sense you in the room. Bow your heads real quick. This is the most important part of the service. I thank you for the prodigal sons and daughters who are even in this room today. Thank you that your promises are still true. You said, meditate on your word, delight ourselves in your promises. That's success. Don't quit. That's success. With every head bowed and every eye closed for these last couple seconds I have, I need you to know that the on-ramp to the promises of God is surrendering your heart to Him. Mamas who brought your kids in today, those of you who are here just supporting this moment, Father, we ask you right now to touch lives. So I'm going to ask you really quickly, if you are ready to take a step and just say, Jesus, I know I don't have it all together. I know that I'm in a space where I am, but I'm ready to at least start on this road of surrender to you. I need you quickly, because we're not going to spend much time. Lift your hands, because I want to pray for you. Where are you? I see you. I see you. I see you. I see you over there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, for these moments we have, just everybody pray this with me. Say, Jesus, I thank you for defining true success. And I ask you to help me walk on this path of surrender. And I thank you that as I lift my hands and my heart to you, I surrender and I invite you as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for this path that I am now on. And I pray it all in your powerful name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Give Jesus a hand clap if you would. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.